So how can we determine what's real and what's not? We can't. We can just pick and choose what we want to believe and rationalize it as best we can. Reality, after all, is basically a movie projected inside our heads. It's based on the colors our senses permit us to see, the sounds they permit us to hear, and whatever else our brains let slip through the gates. But outside our limited senses, surrounding us, there is unquestionably a much greater reality, a universe we live in but cannot see. And this week's opening quote comes from Richard B. Spence. Welcome to Surviving the Matrix, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Maxwell Egan. It's a pleasure to be with you once again, and I'll be your host for the next hour. This really is a truly interesting reality, folks. We have so many realities to choose from, in as much as we have so many different things for people to believe in, should they choose to do so. It really is quite interesting. But due to this situation, it's actually very difficult for people to really understand what's going on. And I'm back in the jungle here today, folks. I just thought I'd let you know. I can see a bit of rain has just started, so you'll probably be in for a few noises here during the show. Maybe a little bit of a downpour, maybe a few insect noises. That's just the way it goes when broadcasting from the jungle. But getting back to the topic, it really is a very interesting reality because there are so many different things that people can choose from. But like I said, nobody really knows what's going on. And it's important for people to realize this. As once said by Nietzsche, there are no real philosophies. There are only philosophers. And ain't that the truth? And I'm kind of paraphrasing with that as well, folks. So, but he said something like that, words to that effect anyway. But regardless of the reality that you may believe you exist in, one thing I think we can all agree upon is that the human race in this reality is currently under attack. And we are under attack from all sorts of directions, but most especially from those who are running the system and those that we have employed to manage things for us responsibly. In fact, they are doing exactly the opposite. And the human race is under attack, and our environment is being destroyed and strip-mined around us. I think we can all agree on this to some degree anyway. And truly one of our biggest problems in attempting to deal with this is our fear and our training, the way we've been programmed and trained to always behave in a politically correct manner. Political correctness is a form of tyranny, folks. Political correctness is an idea that's been put into people's minds that effectively prevents them from ever speaking their mind because they are so afraid of offending someone. But really, if you're under attack, if people are doing what they can to kill you and your family, why would you be politically correct in your response? And that's really what's happening, folks. There's forces that are working to basically kill you and your family. They're doing it through vaccines and GM food and chemtrails and wars and all the stuff that this planet is suffering. But we're not really doing anything about it because it's such a slow kill operation that we don't really see it in our faces. And of course, we're so busy running on the treadmill, collecting the paper we need in order to pay to be alive, that we just don't have time very often to look around and really notice what's being done to us. But the reality is, folks, is that the human race is under attack. Where is it ultimately coming from? Well, that is another question. That is something that we can speculate endlessly, but I believe that by doing so, we just get locked into circular arguments because it's very, very difficult to discover the truth of anything because it's been made that way. There's so many things that look like the truth, and there's so many rabbit holes that lead you to a place that feels comfortable. But often it's just because it feels comfortable. It's just because that belief is something that you can grasp onto. It's something that makes sense to you. But we don't really know. Nobody really knows. The only thing we really do know, collectively, I would say, about this experience so far is that we're not free. And we need to be so that we can discover what's actually going on. And as I keep saying, the reason we're not free is because of this fear that we're in. We're just too afraid to stand up and call it. We're too afraid to really turn around and face the system and face the politicians and call things for what they are. And very often we're also too afraid to talk to our neighbours, to unite with the people around us, because we're scared of what they'll think about us if we start talking about these concepts and bringing these ideas to them. The problem is we've really not ever taken the time to get to be friends with these people to begin with so that they are open to discussion with us. But, you know, I firmly believe, folks, and as I've been saying for 8 or 9 years on air that if you were to break down the barriers in your community and all stand together, then we could make a difference in a very, very short time. Now, what we have to do, the first step, is establishing freedom. It really is. I mean, until we've done that, until we've downed tools and just refused to support this system anymore and refused to go in the direction that we're being led, then we're not gonna get anywhere. I mean, if you want to change the direction the world's going in, folks, the first thing you have to do is stop moving in that direction and move in a different direction. You need to be embodying this information. This is something that I've said to people in all the conferences and the talks that I've attended, is that don't think you've made a difference by coming here. Don't think you've made a difference by listening to the show. If you haven't taken the information on board and embodied it and applied it to your own world, then it's not going to work, you know. People who come to the conferences and things, they need to connect with the people there and get on some sort of a mailing list and form action groups in your community and discussion groups in your community and take it out on the ground where you live and bring it to other people and start interacting with your own local councils and start interacting with your own politicians in your own area and start rocking the boat. Start making a difference on the ground where you live. That's where real activism happens, folks. It happens in the real world. It's not clicktivism on the internet. It's not people posting blogs. I mean, sure, that helps. It wakes people up and we need to do that. But we also need to get active on the ground in the real world. This is something that many people miss out on. I mean, I've been over here in Peru doing all sorts of stuff like that. And I do that sort of stuff in Australia as well. I try to attend as many meetings as I can. I try to get to many gas blockades or other activist groups as I can and talk to them and speak to them and help encourage them, offer some perspective for them whenever I can, get some perspective from them. Because a lot of these people have very good and years-long hands-on experience on the front line. And if you want to be an activist, you need to go and meet these people and talk to these people because a lot of them can give you a lot of good ideas. But again, there's a lot of these activist movements that are infiltrated as well and a lot that don't actually address the root core of the problem. But still, you can gain some sort of an understanding. And even by going to these groups, you can, in many cases, bring a real message to them and help shift their perspective and help them see how they're being played as well. But again, you've got to be very careful in doing this so you don't just perpetuate the divide and conquer. You need to be able to go there and just present coherent ideas and viable ways forward and see how they're received. And that's how people kind of reveal themselves. You know, we've really got to try to avoid open argument and all this sort of stuff. It really doesn't help anything. And we've really got to find what's going to work in each local community. But understanding the energy helps, folks. Understanding that it is an energetic universe, understanding what energy you are in really does help things. We really do live in a universe of endless possibility, folks. We do. We live in a world where anything could come to be. You know, it really does depends on what we believe is possible. That is all that really determines what this reality could be and what we could create. That's the only limit to our creative potential anyway, what we believe is possible. But this is a universe of infinite potential and a universe of infinite possibility. And that's what makes the times that we live in so extraordinary and so unique and so fascinating to be experiencing. You know, even though the world is a complete mess, I mean, there's chaos everywhere, war and death and destruction, all this negative stuff that we're facing, it's still a very, very positive time because it's a time when the workings of the mechanism are being exposed for all to see. And we're kind of almost living in a washing machine stage at the moment where it's just chaos and everything's being buffeted around and everything's starting to bubble to the surface and the wheat is beginning to be separated from the chaff, and the real truths of our world are starting to be brought to the foreground, and the real truth of the human experience is starting to be brought to the foreground. People are starting to realize what's going on here. They're starting to realize the potential that they have, and they're starting to see that we're just spending our time engaged in what are essentially meaningless activities, which are basically destroying the world around us, and that we have far better ways of doing things and that there is a way out of this mess. So I think it's a really positive time that we live in, folks, for all of the negative stuff that's happening. I think the negative stuff is necessary for us to be able to realize the opportunities that all of these problems create for us. And really they do, folks. There is opportunity in all crisis. There's opportunity in all negative situations. You know, one of the biggest problems that we're facing in the world today really is order followers, the people who just do what the government tells them to do and just blindly obey without ever questioning what they're being told. You look at the situation that I was mentioning last week with the Lakota people who are defending the water and preventing a pipeline from running through their country. Who they're really defending themselves against isn't the government. In fact, it's the order followers who are there carrying out the government's wishes. It's these people who need to wake up to themselves. And really, folks, it's kind of a fascinating thing. Here you've got men who are sworn to protect society, who are out there using pepper spray and setting dogs on people who are attempting to protect water. And apart from it being downright stupid and far outside the realms of common sense, the pollution of water is a crime. You're not allowed to pollute water in any country. It's against the law to pollute water. And here you have these major corporations that are destroying water and destroying the environment in an outrageous rate. And here you have people that are supporting it simply because the government tells them that they are supposed to do it. You know, order followers are really one of the biggest problems that we face, folks. People who believe that when they put on a uniform, they must do what they're told, even if it means destroying the world or destroying life or abusing people or acting in the most amoral fashion you can imagine and doing things that are way, way outside people's moral compass, but they still do it because they believe they have to, and they believe that they can say, well, I didn't have a choice because I was just following orders. It really is the most bizarre way of thinking, and it goes a long way to show just how well the programming has worked with people. That's really a big thing about our society, folks, our propensity to follow orders. It isn't just with the police and the military. It also works within the hierarchical nature of the political system itself. You get these politicians who believe that they can't break the chain of command. You know, once you get into a particular party, you must abide by the rules of the party. You can't kind of step outside of those lines. This is what's wrong with the party system. But again, it's this unwavering respect for authority and our blind obedience to orders that creates so many problems in the world today and allows this corporate slavery system to continue and just to trash the planet the way it's doing. You know, if you're going to have a political system at all, you need to be able to have some sort of creative thinking in there and not have rules that are going to curtail that. You know, when people come up with ideas that are going to benefit humanity, they need to be able to have the means to implement those ideas. It should not always be about the corporate system. And that's the problem, folks. You know, I've gone through that so many times, people's willingness to support the corporate system and the need to balance the books all the time. You know, it's all about the economic model rather than about humanity and the human race. You know, so we've got to find a way through that. We've got to start readjusting people's perspectives in any way that we can and put humanity back into the equation, put humanity back at the top of the food chain. You know, this is what I've been attempting to do when I keep mentioning Palestine and Gaza and all this sort of stuff in the legal key. And I know people are sick of hearing me talk about it. People say, why do I keep mentioning this problem and not mentioning the solution to the problem? But they don't see what I'm saying. The situation in Gaza is the solution to the problem. You know, and I'm not expecting to have any type of legal remedy with this approach. You've got to understand that. It's simply a way of demonstrating to the people around you that the legal system is not being applied evenly and a way of putting these politicians on the spot. And I've had people ask me how they can do it in their own country. Well, look, what you need to do, folks, is find what legislation exists in your country which prevents people from supporting or funding war crimes. You'll find that there's legislation in your country which says that you cannot contribute to a known terrorist organization, or you cannot contribute to someone who is knowingly carrying out war crimes or human rights abuses. There'll be something there. It's there in every country, folks, so there'll be something in your country that deals with this. You need to find that piece of legislation, and then when you're dealing with a local council issue, something that is affecting you on a personal level in your community, go to a council meeting, because very often they have community meetings where you can all go and you can discuss a certain new rezoning of the area or a new fluoride that's coming into the water or whatever. There's all sorts of issues that you want to go and discuss with people, and there's all sorts of opportunities to do that. So you take one of these opportunities and you go there and you're dealing with this legislation that they're trying to bring in. And then you simply ask the question, well, excuse me, but how is this legislation valid when it can be proven that it's being enacted by a person who's supporting international war crimes? And you can bring up the legislation that you've found which prevents people from funding war crimes in your area. You can bring it to their attention, and then you can show them a copy of Article 33 of the Fourth Geneva Convention, which demonstrates that Israel is currently carrying out war crimes. And especially if you're in the United States, the politician that you're dealing with has very likely signed the AIPAC pledge. So you can simply ask the question, can you please show me how your legislation is valid when it would appear that you are in breach of this country's laws by your support of international war crimes? Can you please show cause why we shouldn't pursue this avenue to determine the validity of your legislation? Because in order for us to deal with this legislation, we need to know that the legislation was enacted by a responsible person that is not abusing the office that they hold in doing so. And due to your support of international war crimes, it would appear that you are in abuse of office. Can you please show cause why we should not pursue that avenue and have you prosecuted for abuse of office and have this legislation overturned in the process? And you're going to find that the politicians really don't know what to say when you ask them that question. You've put them on the spot. And not only that, you've planted a seed in the minds of the community. And they're going to start thinking about this. Well, hang on a minute. How can this guy be affecting my life in such a negative way if it can be shown that he is in support of international war crimes and in abuse of his office and in breach of this country's constitution and every other law we can think of? I mean, how is anything this guy doing, how is it valid? You know, it's just putting that seed in people's minds, folks. This is what I've been saying, how this provides a legal key. It isn't that I expect to find any remedy in doing this. I don't expect to be able to take these people to court and prosecute them. But what I'm saying is that they are all worthy of prosecution, and if the law were to be applied evenly, then they could be arrested and taken and prosecuted right now. The fact that that doesn't happen should demonstrate to people that the law is not being applied evenly, and in fact that the legislation they are attempting to inflict upon you is invalid because it has been enacted by a person who is not actually worthy of holding the office that he holds because he is in breach of law himself, not only of the law of your country, but also of international laws. And this is a huge awakening for people, folks, when they can see this. They can see the criminal nature of the people who are running this system. And like I said, I don't expect to find remedy there, but it's a key that can be used to demonstrate to people just how much they're being played. And I hope I explained it well enough then for people to be able to understand the concept and understand what I'm getting at by using this approach. And folks, I've tried this with local politicians, and you should see how quickly they leave the room when you ask a question like this. They literally get up and they walk out and they simply say the discussion is over. And it really embarrasses them if you can do it in front of enough people, because the people see this reaction and they start to question why the politician didn't simply answer the question and sort of laugh you out of the room and tell you to go and learn the law or something if you were so wrong. But they don't do that, folks. They back away. They say, this is a different topic, that I'm stirring up trouble, that I'm trying to shift the discussion, all sorts of things, folks. But they get very embarrassed and they leave the room very, very quickly. And that's a very empowering thing to have happen in front of your local community, because it wakes a lot of people up. And that's a good thing. That's a really good thing, folks. And anything we can use to wake people up really is a good thing, because the people have to see how they're being played. And just seeing a politician run from the room like this is very empowering for people. They suddenly realize that they're not just a little person, that they can actually make a difference if they ask the right questions. And not only that, but it also speaks to the order followers in a language that they can understand as well, because you're speaking a legal language, and that is the language that they have been trained to respect. So they start thinking about things as well, and it's important to reach these people, folks, because we need the order followers to start breaking ranks. And when you attempt to deal with these people, it's very beneficial to speak to them in a language that they believe is real, i.e. the legal language. So using this approach can also set off a little spark of consciousness in some of these people. So, you know, it's just worth a try. As I said, I have tried this approach with people, and I've seen politicians run from the room, and I've seen the police respect me for taking that approach, and I've seen a little spark of light go off in the minds of the other people in the room who happen to hear the question and see the results of asking that question. And of course, ultimately when dealing with any of this, folks, it all comes down to energy, doesn't it? It comes down to the energetic state that you're in. That's why it's helpful to understand that it's an energetic universe and understand how your emotions affect reality. Because if you're in the right energy, you can ask these questions. You don't have a problem with it. You don't feel the fear that many people feel when they attempt to address politicians or attempt to deal with the situations that they're facing in their community. Most people are too scared to ask the right questions. They're too scared to stand their ground, because they don't really understand what they are. They're simply in the wrong energy is the problem. It is an energetic universe, and emotions are what your interface is with this universe, folks. The energetic language that you're speaking, the emotional language that you're speaking all the time. As I often said, you know, when you center yourself in fear or hatred, it's very disempowering. But when you center yourself in love, it's a very, very empowering energy. You know, and I try to center myself in love all the time, even when I get angry with people. If I lash out at people or become short with people, usually it's from frustration, and that frustration is born from love. You know, I do what I do because I care about the world and I care about the people, and sometimes I just get enormously frustrated because it's kind of like banging your head against a wall trying to talk to the sleeping masses. You know, sometimes it just gets a little frustrating because no matter how much you say, and no matter how many ways you say it, people seem to still ask the same questions, and sometimes you just feel like you're talking to a wall, and so you lash out. But again, you know, this is from love. You know, I'm concerned with the state of the world, and I'm concerned with the direction that we're going, and sometimes that manifests in ways that may seem like it's based in the wrong energy, but it's really not. You know, you can be angry with the situation, and you can stand up and fight for a situation and fight for what is right, and you can be centered in love in doing so. You don't need to center yourself in hatred towards the perpetrator or hatred against your foe. Now, I don't hate any of the people that are doing all of these terrible things to the world. I feel sorry for them more than anything. I'd like to heal them if I could, but I'm conscientious enough to realize that some of them simply cannot be healed. And so a situation might arise where I simply have to do what needs to be done, no matter how much I don't like doing it. But I'll do so because of the love that I have for myself and for the people that I'm standing up for. You know, it's the way you look at things, folks. It's the perspective that you have when choosing to address any situation. You know, you've got to realize whether you're in the correct energy, whether you're in the right emotional state to really deal with the situation. You'll find that if you're in a state of hatred, then you'll probably do the wrong thing anyway. You won't be thinking clearly, you'll lash out, you'll make mistakes. But really, if you're in a state of love and you're simply standing up for what is right, then you're in a state of clarity, and it becomes very easy to do what needs to be done. And sometimes what needs to be done could be as simple as asking the right questions and not backing down to whatever intimidating response you might get. Now, sometimes, you know, you ask these questions to politicians and they will respond in a very intimidating manner. But if you are in the correct energy, it'll just be like water off a duck's back to you, and you'll just continue with the stand that you're on because you've realized that all you're dealing with is just people, the same as you. But anyway, these are all just suggestions anyway. These are just things that I'm sharing with you because they're things that have worked in my life. They're things that have made a difference when I've used this approach with the people that I've been dealing with. And that's all I've really ever done on the show, folks, is offer suggestions that you may be able to use in your own life. And ultimately, it all comes down to you discovering your power or remembering your power. It comes down to each person doing this. You know, that's what's been so frustrating for me, I think, over the years doing these shows, is seeing people who listen to the shows. I mean, I've got friends that I know at home who listen to the shows, but they still don't seem to apply the understandings to their lives. It's a very interesting thing, you know. People see the slavery system for what it is, they see where it's going, and they realize that it's only really going to change when people on the ground start getting involved and making a difference. But they still wait for the people around them to start doing it before they're prepared to get involved. It's like they still want someone to lead them. And it seems to be a strange thing about this species, how we are so desperate for people to lead us out of trouble all the time. And we believe, I suppose, that somebody else led us into the trouble. I suppose it's up to somebody else to lead us out of the trouble. But it really is a kind of a convoluted way of looking at things, folks. It's just that it seems so insurmountable, I think, from people's view from ground level where they live. You know, people that are living in the suburbs, it's very difficult for them to stand up in any way and make a difference in any way. It's very difficult for them to unite with their community in order to do this. That's one of the big problems that we have as well. How to unite people, how to get the community motivated into some sort of cohesive action against the control grid. I mean, I'm sure there's many things that are going to work. The trick is finding what's going to work in each individual community because, of course, it's going to be different for each individual community. And that's why it's so hard for anyone to lead you to a position of safety because, I mean, I can't lead you because I don't live in your community, so I don't know what the local issues are. I don't know who the local people are. I don't know what the local approach would be that would be one that's going to work for the people in the area. So this is something that you can find in your own community and something that you can start to put together yourself. And look, this is what I've created Full Circle Project for, folks, is so that you can form these action groups and form these discussion groups and just see what's going to work, because there's going to be something that's going to work, whether it's community gardens, whether it's approaching the politicians and asking the questions about Palestine and the things that I mention all the time. These sorts of things will work, but anything that you can think of which is going to empower and inspire people around you. And it is going to be different everywhere. It's going to be different in every community that you go to, and that's why it has to be a community effort. But it is kind of fascinating, folks, seeing how divided the community is and how we remain so divided, and it really is one of the biggest obstacles we have to overcome. But I'll pick that up again on the other side of the break because I think we've reached break time now, folks, so we'll leave it here for now and go and have a break, and I'll speak to you again in a few minutes. Thanks for listening. And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. So, yeah, it is one of the interesting things, folks, what divides us and what keeps us divided. Even in the independent media, which is so divided at the moment, everybody is accusing everybody else of being government agents and things. It's quite bizarre. And, of course, this is just like people crying wolf all the time, so that when you get to a situation where you are seriously uncovering something which is going to be very beneficial for the people to know, often people simply don't believe it because of the amount of people that have been crying wolf beforehand. You know, it's really been one of the big problems with the information age is that the information age has created a situation whereby anybody can open a website and start publishing information about anything they like. And the problem is that people who come across this information often take it to be true because it's written down, and people just seem to have this view of the written word. They believe something to be gospel because it's written in letters. Letters seem to affect people in this way. This is how they cast spells on people with words, folks, but I'm getting into another topic there. But the information age has created a situation whereby anybody can publish any information they want regardless of the accuracy of the information. And when people do that in order to simply boost traffic to their website or support their own ego, and they pass off what they're selling as truth rather than simply being their perspective, then they just succeed in muddying the waters. And the result has been that in this age of information, we have more and more people who actually know less and less about what's actually going on. And the independent media has kind of turned into a quagmire of infighting and people reinforcing their own opinions and forcing their own views upon other people. And of course, if you don't agree with every single point they make, then they label you a shill. And it's just gotten ridiculous, folks. There's been a huge wedge driven into the independent media. Well, a few wedges that have been driven into it. And of course, the independent media has become greatly infiltrated and seems more concerned with leading people down blind alleys and avenues of inaction rather than anything that may empower people on the ground. And it's also been people's propensity to look for leaders, look for movements, look for something to lead them out of the mess rather than realizing that they have to take responsibility and start leading themselves. But a lot of it, folks, a lot of what has happened with the independent media through the infiltration has been distrust. That's what it's been all about. It's been about causing people to distrust other people and to distrust researchers that they've listened to for so long. And this is all about undermining people's confidence and fracturing any response to the system. And it's a very, very effective method, folks. It's often used in normal mainstream activities as well, and it certainly is now being used in the independent media. And it's all about divide and conquer, folks. It's all about containing people by locking them into argument and endless debate and circular arguments and all of this sort of stuff, and pitting people against each other rather than against the system that everybody should be focusing on. And that's the thing, folks. You see, the more time that you have to spend arguing with people and defending yourself against false attacks and false accusations, then the less time you have to concentrate to focusing on the system and attempting to bring about some sort of remedy for the human situation. And this is what has been done in the independent media, and it's been very, very well manufactured. And there's many people out there now who are acting as unwitting agents of the state simply by perpetuating this type of divide and conquer strategy and perpetuating this type of distrust and division in the independent media, right at a time when we need unity and right at a time when there was a real wave building. You know, like 2 years ago, there was a real wave. There was a lot of people out there that were bringing a lot of good information, and there was a real wave of consciousness building behind them. But now it's fractured and it's divided and it's arguing and it's full of distrust, and it's been very, very successfully undermined. And I think it's time for people to really step back and take stock of what they're doing and take stock of themselves, really put themselves on the global stage as simply another piece in the play and see how they're being maneuvered and manipulated, and see whether the thoughts they are having are really their own thoughts or whether these are ideas that have been implanted into their minds by other people. You know, it's very important that people do this at this time, I think, folks. We really do need some sort of reflection, because we're seeing a real separation. And in many ways, it's good. I mean, we are seeing the wheat separating from the chaff, which is good. But there is a real animosity and a real division amongst certain factions of the independent media and amongst the truth or freedom movement or whatever you want to call it. But we really do need to take stock, folks, and get ourselves back onto some type of cohesive wave again, whereby we are focused on the actual problem and on remedies to that problem. Because that wave was really building, and as I said, it has been fractured very effectively in the last 2 years. So perhaps people should be paying attention to that a little bit, and perhaps stepping back from things a little bit and taking stock of themselves. I mean, we all have to do this from time to time, folks. I certainly have to do it. I have to do it quite frequently. I have to step back from things and really check that I'm still on the right path, and really check that my heart's still in the right place, and check that the thoughts I'm having are my own, check where my influences are coming from, check what the influences are in my life. You know, there's been a lot of things revealed in the last 12 months, and the seriousness of the gameplay has really been brought home to me by some of the close relations I've had with people and some of the influences that I've had in my own life. So it's been a very sobering experience the last 12 months. Now, you kind of forget sometimes, folks, how serious what we're doing is. You know, it becomes a little bit like a spy novel. It becomes a little bit like a game. It becomes a little bit too exciting. There's a lot of ego that gets involved, and especially in the independent media, there's been a lot of ego clashing lately. And this is what happens, folks. And of course, people in the independent media who gain any type of popularity, you've got to be very careful that you don't start believing your own press and thinking that you're some type of guru or some type of authority on things. It's really easy for people to get locked into that trap. There is a certain celebrity status that has been interjected into the independent media, which I find very distasteful, because it's exactly the opposite of everything we're working towards. But unfortunately, it is the way some people think. But it has been a very sobering 12 months, ladies and gentlemen. I'm certainly looking at things from a different perspective to what I was 12 months ago anyway. And of course, that's what life is about. Life is about change, life is about growth, and life is about learning what all these experiences are about and what we can actually do with these experiences. But the key word here is doing, folks. It really is. You know, in my time as an activist, I haven't seen too many people doing. We spend our time looking at information. We spend our time on YouTube and disseminating information. And for very many people, it's like the spy novel version of reality. But how many people actually apply the information to the world? You know, in all the time that I've been doing this and all the travels that I've made and all the people that I've met, and I've really tried to connect with all of the major speakers and all of the major voices in the truth or freedom movement or whatever you want to call it. I've gone out of my way to try to meet everybody, folks, and to try to get some sort of unity, see who wants to collaborate, who wants to work together to push things forward. And so far, out of all the people that I've met, I can name about three who are actually active on the ground, and that's myself included. You know, there's too many people who just want to find out information but don't want to apply it to the world. You know, it's like even with the flat earthers, you get all this information and now you've got it, and what if you tell everybody the earth's flat? Well, what are you going to do then? What's the plan? What's the plan to move forward? There's never a plan to move any of this stuff forward, and no matter how many suggestions you put out there to attempt to empower people, like all I've done with what I say is I'm just attempting to empower people. I don't expect to find any remedy in the legal system at all, but you've got to find something that's going to cause people to stand up for themselves and give them that spark of confidence which will help them believe they can stand up for themselves. Now, as most people think they're enslaved to the money system and the legal system, I figure that finding loopholes within that system which can empower people and cause them to stand up and have their voices heard is a good thing. But I don't expect to find a remedy in it. But with all of the things that we're doing, folks, all of the information that we're bringing out and all of the data that's being collected by people now, no one is naming the way forward. No one's saying how we can make a difference. No one's saying how we can apply it to the world. No one's showing us the way out with any of this information. You know, it's still people waiting for the newsletter that tells them the world has been saved. Even the flat earthers are waiting for the newsletter that the world has been saved, and it's not going to work. It's not going to do anything unless people choose to get involved. And it's finding what it is that is going to empower people on the ground. And bear in mind that over 60% of the world doesn't have the internet, and of the people who do have the internet, maybe about 5% of them are actually semi-awake to the fact that there's something wrong with the world. And out of that 5%, most of these people are fully programmed to distrust everybody and locked into their own conspiracy theory rabbit hole and distrusting everybody around them who doesn't buy into it with them and involved in infighting and attempting to undermine other people. And it really blows me out, the people who post blogs and things and try to undermine other people. I mean, what is it? What is it about people that makes them want to get other people to hate other people? Convince others to jump down some rabbit hole of inaction. What is it with these people that they seek to generate hate? I mean, sure, there's a lot of it that's simply ego-based, in which people use people's names in order to drive traffic to their website and they post negative blogs about them in order to make money out of it. But again, it's all based in hatred. It's all based in really low vibrational negative stuff. Some of the comments that I see from people calling people dumbasses and dumb as dog shit and this and that. I mean, why do people want to generate hatred like this? What is it? How do they believe that generating hatred and animosity and argument and distrust and suspicion and disempowerment is leading to freedom? What is the program that's been instilled into these people? How have their minds been changed in this way? Because it wasn't like this a couple of years ago. A couple of years ago, people were all pushing in the same direction. And now it's just this big mishmash of infighting and everyone trying to convince other people to hate other people. It's really, really bizarre. There's so many people in the independent media now that are really locked into negative states and locked into states of hatred and states of incredibly low energy. And it's very disturbing. And I just wonder what it is, what it's going to take to unite people and to get people to respect each other. You know, I respect all opinions. I don't understand why people would post opinions where they're hacking down other people. But hey, you know, if people have some bad idea about someone or someone else, perhaps they should talk to them. And it's just really mind-blowing, folks, to see what this so-called movement has become. You know, so many people in this movement have just become incredibly toxic. And they push out their toxicity and it generates toxicity in you and you respond in a toxic manner. It's just bizarre, folks. It's really amazing to see what people are doing and the effort that many people in the independent media are undertaking in order to undermine others rather than undermine the system. It's like everyone's been rewired and reprogrammed. You know, I think in many ways a lot of people have become frustrated at the lack of change they've seen in the world. I mean, we've been speaking out against this government and against this system for a long time, and many people expected to see change now, and because they haven't seen it and they're not getting their energy replenished, you know, the energy they've put into trying to bring this change out, they're not getting anything back. And so now they have to seek to harvest energy off other people, and they have to attack other people just in the sheer frustration and not getting any results from the system. They know that if they can attack other people, then these people may snap back at them, and then they'll get to indulge themselves in some little back and forth tit for tat argument. Let's see if we can discredit each other type exchange with people. And that gives them the energy they need to keep going or something. I don't know what it is, but I think it's people's frustration at the lack of impact they've had in their attacks against the system and their fights against the system. So it's causing them to attack their peers and fight those around them. It's very, very bizarre, folks. But in many ways it is good, because, as I've said earlier, it is separating the wheat from the chaff. But it is a concern, folks. It really is. Because ultimately, it's about finding a way out of this mess. And if we can't be open to rational discussion with each other, then we're never going to get anywhere. And hatred and animosity and backstabbing and calling people names in your blogs and attempting to undermine other people's research, this really doesn't achieve anything. Except for the government, of course. It does actually achieve quite a bit for the government, but that doesn't really seem to be what is good for humanity. So I would suggest that people really step back and look at what they're doing, because we did have a real wave building a couple of years ago, and we could get that back. We could get that focus again if people were prepared to see how they've been programmed and see how they've been rewired and turn and direct that attention back towards the system, which is where it was a couple of years ago and where it should be still. And if it was, I think we could make a difference in the world, folks. I think now's the time that we could. All we have to do is regain that focus that we once had. It's been the loss of focus which has caused so many problems. It's just figuring out what the focal point is, folks. But like I said, humanity is under attack, and that is a pretty good focal point if you ask me. And it's the same irrespective of what you believe, folks. It doesn't matter whether you are part of a religious cult or, you know, part of any type of religion. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian. It doesn't matter whether you're a Muslim or a Jew. It doesn't matter whether you believe the earth is flat, whether you believe it's round, whether you believe it's hollow. It doesn't matter if you are black or white or oriental or Middle Eastern. We can still agree that humanity is under attack. And that is the focal point that we need to be looking at. That needs to be the focus, folks. The focus needs to be freedom. Because once we have established freedom, then we can figure everything else out. It will all fall into place by default once we have reached that point. It's figuring out how to create freedom and how to get to that point. And of course, if we are looking for freedom, we have to be speaking in a language people understand, and we have to be presenting it to people in a manner that they can see it's actually a light at the end of the tunnel. It's not chaos. We're not asking for revolution. We don't want to pull our governments down and erupt our countries into civil war. What we want is freedom and peace and harmony for the human species, and we could have that. Because nobody wants war. Nobody in any country wants war. I've traveled extensively, folks, and I've never met anybody who wants war. The only people who want war are politicians and banksters. And it's the people that go along with it all the time. That's the problem. So we need to realize that we are under attack, regardless of what your particular rabbit hole or particular interest is. the entire species on this earth, the entire human race, is under attack and is being exterminated. And we need to address this fact, folks. It's a pretty good focal point, if you ask me. And think about it, folks. All these people posting negative blogs about other researchers and opening their shill lists on their websites and all that sort of stuff. What do you think the purpose of this is? How do you think this is working to push things forward? How do you think this is working in any way to establish freedom? It's not. Even if these people get the notoriety that they're looking for, what's their plan to push things forward? How do we address things? How do we create any unity and cohesive response? How do we get any focus from what they're posting about people? It's ridiculous, folks. It's all about undermining any response to the system. Like I said, there's a lot of people that have become unwitting agents of the state. Who knows, maybe they've been bought off or whatever. I don't know. But a lot of people have changed their slant in the last couple of years. And they've succeeded in driving a huge wedge into the movement. But again, it is serving to have people reveal themselves and reveal their true intentions. And so that's a good thing in many ways. But ultimately, folks, it's all about energy, really, isn't it? It's about the energetic state you're in and about the energetic state that they are in. And when you look at this stuff, you've got to see what the resonance is that it leaves with you. I mean, sure, you can look at negative information and things about the government, but this is an opportunity to heal the problem, folks. But if people are posting things and leaving you hating someone or doubting someone or feeling more insecure or more powerless, then you really need to question what these things are that you're looking at and what these writings are really intending to do. Because there's a lot of bad intent that's gone into a lot of people's writings. And really, we are at a pivotal time, folks. We're at a pivotal time in history where we really could push things forward and we really could get some freedom here. And I think we're going to anyway. I mean, I really do think we are heading for a good space. We are heading for a time of freedom. We are heading for a good place. But it's just going to be a bit of a battle to get there. I mean, it certainly isn't over yet. We're certainly not just going to suddenly shift into a golden reality without putting a little bit of effort into it to make that happen. You know, the important thing is for people to apply the spiritual understandings they have within themselves to the real world that they live in. You know, it's a 3D world, folks. It's a physical world that you live in, and you're here to participate. And we gain these spiritual understandings, and we gain this knowledge along the way because it is a useful tool that we can use to change the reality that we have around us. But that reality is only going to change when we choose to step into our power and stand tall and not be afraid to be a valuable human being, the same as everybody else, just as much value as anybody else. You know, you don't have to do what you're told. You don't have to obey the dictates of politicians. You know, we have to stand up against these people and change the direction that we're going. But like I said earlier, the only way we're going to do that, the first step in changing the direction we're going, is to stop moving in that direction. So we have to just step back and really take stock of what's going on here and realize that we have to change the direction that we're going in any way that is going to work. Now, we've got to do it in peaceful ways. We've got to do it in ways that are going to empower others. But this is not going to be achieved by infighting. It's not going to be achieved by undermining others. It's not going to be achieved by creating animosity and division. It's only going to be achieved by creating unity and having a common focal point. And I really believe, as I said, that focal point should be freedom, because ultimately that is the cause of all of the other problems. And once we've established freedom, everything else is going to fall into place by default. Unfortunately, too many people are putting the cart before the horse. And they're addressing symptoms, believing that addressing this symptom may lead somewhere, but really it's just a symptom of systemic corruption. All the problems that we have are because of systemic corruption, folks. All the problems, all the mysteries, all the rabbit holes, all the conspiracy theories, everything we research, all these questions exist because of systemic corruption and because there has not yet been any freedom for the human condition. And that's where the focus needs to be, because once we address that, everything else falls into place, folks. This is what I've been saying on the air for the last 8 or 9 years. It's been kind of frustrating, but, you know, I think a lot of people have been hearing the message, and people are having it demonstrated to them as well, because no matter how much they attempt to focus on the symptom and heal the symptom, they're realizing that after years and years of this battle, it's just not getting anywhere. And that they have to go above the symptom and look at the systemic corruption that's created this symptom. Because all of these problems that we see as major problems are simply symptoms of systemic corruption. the gas mining, the coal mining, the pollution, the oil spills, the wars, the damage they're doing to the Barrier Reef, the debt slavery that we're in, the austerity measures, the refugee crisis, the prison population, the outlawing of cannabis, all of these things, folks, these may seem like major problems in themselves, but each one of them is simply a symptom of systemic corruption. And once we deal with that, then all of the symptoms will collapse themselves by default way down the food chain. It'll just all fall over like a house of cards once we address the systemic corruption. But that's not going to happen until we call it. And of course, we're not going to call it until we can have that united focus as a community. And that, of course, isn't going to happen until we can learn to respect each other. So it always comes back to that. It always comes back to doing the inner work, folks, and then communicating and connecting with the people around you to create strong ties with these people so it can stand up as one united voice. You know, I've been saying this for so many years, folks, and it really is the way out, and I can't see any other way out. You know, freedom for the human condition will only ever come from the human consciousness itself. It's got to come from people changing their perspective and simply standing in that. You know, we don't even need to do anything. We don't even need to have a battle or a war. We just need to realize what we are and stand in it. You know, and you say this to people and they say, well, hang on, I can't just stand up against the system because I'll get squashed. And yes, of course you will if you do it on your own, which is why you need to connect with the people around you so that we can do it together. You know, and it doesn't take any effort to simply get to know your neighbors. It doesn't take any effort really to just put down your stuff with people. Stop judging people as being so different to yourself. Stop wanting to profit from people. Stop wanting to take advantage of people. Just see them in Lakesh as another version of yourself, and things can change very easily. You know, if we stood up together and simply said, no, we're not going to do this anymore, then the politicians have nowhere to go. Because we don't need them, folks. We don't need the politicians. These are just a group of people that have maneuvered themselves into a position where they're now at the top of society and they're able to skim the cream off the top. And they're able to control us and put rules in place and govern our actions. But we don't need them there. We don't need them to govern anything we do or say. We don't need to have government there at all. All it does is interfere and get in the way and profit at the expense of everybody else. You know, what we have running this world is a kakistocracy, folks. We have the worst people possible for the job who have maneuvered themselves into a position where they now control the rest of the world, and they really don't give a shit about anybody. They just don't. They just don't care, folks. They only care about themselves. And we're constantly politically correct in our response to their actions. It's absolutely absurd. We need to stand up and call this for what it is. We need to grow a pair and become human again. Stand up for ourselves, folks. The men out there, you need to stand up for your women, and the women, you need to support your men in this action. And we need to stand up and call these criminals out for what they are. And the police out there, they seriously need to wake up to themselves. These brain-dead thugs, they've got to stop abusing people at the whim of criminals who run the system, because that's what they're doing. They're supporting organized crime, and they need to wake up to that fact. This whole world is run by organized crime, and the ones that are suffering because of it is the human race. But we're in a position now where we can actually change things if we can just put down our stuff. Put down your rabbit holes for the moment, folks. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter what your particular interest is. The real focus at the moment needs to be freedom, because whatever it is, folks, you are under attack the same as everybody else. And if you can just put that stuff down for the moment and unite with your brothers and sisters around you and turn to face this system and call it out, we can make a real difference. But if we continue to fight with each other, and if there's people out there that are going to continue to do what they can to undermine the work of others and undermine the reputation of others and make it so that people have to waste their time defending themselves against unwarranted and unreasonable attacks, then we're never going to get anywhere. All these people are doing is the government's work for them, and they seriously need to wake up to themselves. We have a real opportunity for change, folks, and all we have to do is get involved, so let's do it. But I think we're at the end of the show here, folks, so I'm going to have to leave it there for now. Thank you for joining me on the air today. It's always a pleasure to have your company. Thank you to anybody who has supported the Patreon account and is donating to the Crow House. It has been an absolute godsend. You people are really the only thing that is keeping me on the air, so thank you very much for that. Here Come the Cicadas as well, so it looks like I'm ending this show at the right time. But I will be back to speak to you maybe next week, but maybe the week after, but as soon as I can, and I'll look forward to speaking to you then, folks. But please do take very good care until then. In La Cache, my friends. In La Cache.